بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for his nation. We have been talking about the Umayyad ruling, the Umayyad dynasty. And the last of those was Yazid, the son of Abdul Malik. And we said that he died in the year 105 Hijri. And we mentioned some people who died during his rulership: Al-Dahhak ibn Muzahim, Ata ibn Yasar, and his brother Mujahid ibn Jabr, the student of Ibn Abbas. And lately we talked about Al-Sha'bi and Abu Qilabah al-Jarmi. After Yazid, the son of Abdul Malik died, Yazid ibn Abdul Malik, his brother Hisham became the caliph. This is the year 105. And Hisham was born in the year 72. So he was about 33 years old when he became the caliph. And he was known to be, when he became the caliph, he showed resolute firmness, hard-handedness in running things. He was following up with whatever he was going on in his state, from east to west. He would just follow up with things. However, this firmness took place at a time when a lot of seditions, a lot of problems were taking place in the Muslim state. And he was so overwhelmed with the problems reported to him to the extent that one day he went away from the capital of his rulership, Damascus, and he went away to be by himself. He didn't want to hear anything about the state, and still somebody managed to come to him and tell him some disturbing news. And he said, not even one day, I couldn't, just say no, have one day without receiving news. And one day, a person came and mentioned a house of his. So Hisham, the caliph, asked this man, how did you get this house? How did you become the owner of this house? He said, he mentioned a previous caliph. He said, this caliph gave it to me. And then Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, may Allah have mercy on him, took it back from me. Then your brother Yazid, the man who just died, he took it, gave it back to me. So he said, a previous caliph gave it to me. But Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, may Allah have mercy on him, took it from me. Then your brother Yazid gave it back to me. So Hisham said, subhanallah, this is, surprising, amazing. You say, may Allah have mercy on the person who took the house from you, but you don't say it to those who gave it back to you? So it has a meaning, is that this person, deep in his heart, felt that he doesn't deserve that house. So he had mercy on the one who took it from him. During Hisham's rulership, The state was, the Muslim state was in war with the Khawarij, those renegades, and also the Muslim state was busy in opening more land. However, there was some sedition happening in which the tribal allegiance or the tribal, you know, loyalty was playing a role in the area of Khurasan. And we said the area of Khurasan is the area which is known as Iran nowadays and Afghanistan. Among those things that were happening that were affecting the strength of the Muslim state, the Umayyad state, is that during the rulership of Hisham, something very disturbing took place, in which Hisham ordered the killing of a descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the way of Al-Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, from the way of his son Al-Husayn. And this man was called Zayd, the son of Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So this Zayd is the son of Ibn Zayn al-Abidin. His name is Zaydun Da with a D. And his father was Ali, who is known as Zaynul Abidin. So this Zayd was killed, you know, during the rulership of Hisham, this Hisham we're talking about. And this happened during the year 121 Hijri. And there was money that the state usually passes on to the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know that when in the spoils of the war, the spoils are divided into five parts. One of those parts would be given to the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there were two relatives, descendants of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. This Zayd, the son of Ali, means the son of Zainul Abidin, and there was his relative Abdullah, the son of Al-Hasan, the son of Ali. So one of them were like arguing with each other. Each one of them thought that he deserved more to take care of that money being distributed to the different descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when they did not have an agreement, they went to the governor of the area to resolve their difference. So the governor, being, you know, mischievous, he wanted to see them fight. So when they started talking about the issue, and he started like probing them so that each one would say bad words to the other one, and he started instigating them against each other. Then at the end he said, well, tomorrow you come back to me and I will, you know, rule who should do this distribution of money. So on the following day they came to the masjid, and this man has called for people to the masjid to witness, of course, what happens between these two descendants of the Prophet. So Abdullah, the son of Al-Hasan, one of these two, wanted to start talking, to present his case. Okay? Then Zayd said, no, don't say anything. And he looked at the governor. He said, you on purpose saw two descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in difference, and you wanted them to fight among the people, so that everyone who's, you know, attending would look down at us. Would just see, look, descendants of the Prophet, so they are not respectable. They are acting like any other, you know, two people in indifference. And he said, that's what you wanted to do. So when he said that to the governor, one of the governor's aides, of course, wanted to defend his governor. He said, and he, you know, like addressing the two relatives. One of them is, you know, coming is a descendant of Ali ibn Abi Talib from the way of Al-Husayn. The other one is from the way of Al-Hasan. So, you know, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn were brothers. So those are the two you know, chains of the descendants of the Prophet. So he called them, he said, Yabna Abi Turab Wabna Hussein. So he said, he called them like with the names of Ali ibn Abi Talib and the son of Al-Hussein. He said, you the son of Ali, and he called him, yes, the son of Abu Turab. If you remember in previous classes, we said Abu Turab was a name that the Prophet ﷺ had given to Ali ibn Abi Talib when he saw him one time lying down in the mosque and all the sand was on him. So he called him the father of sand. So Ali said, this is the best name I ever had. So he was very happy. But this person was calling him with that name with the intention of cussing him. He was using the name in a cussing way, not in a praising way. And the same thing, when he told him, you, the son of Hussein, and Hussein is respectable, but he was talking about him in a negative way, because according to them, Al-Hussein fought the government, so, and he is pro-government. So he was cussing him in that way, cussing both of them. So he told him, I do not respond to one like you. Zayd did not respond. He said, I'm not going to respond to you. So he said, why wouldn't you respond to me, this eighth? Why wouldn't you respond to me? I am better than you. My father is better than your father. And my mother is better than your mom. And you know what we're talking about. He's addressing those descendants of the Prophet. He's telling him, I'm better than you. And he's telling him, my father is better than your father. And he's saying, my mother is better than your mother. So, Zayd started laughing, as he means. It's known to the people who is who. So he said, مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَذْهَبُ دِينُهُمْ وَلَا تَذْهَبُ أَحْزَابُهُمْ. He said, some people may lose their faith. They may, you know, become unreligious or irreligious. They may not obey Allah all the times. So this quality of being religious may go away from some people. But their blood lineage does not go. The person was born to parents. He's always known to be the son of these parents. It's not going to change. Zayd was telling the people around, means, look, this person is saying all these things to us, but you're not saying anything about it. You're just quiet about it. Do something about it. But people would not say anything. A person who was there, who was descendant of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Umar had Abdullah, and also Abdullah had children. One of them was Waqid. And this was Abdullah, the son of Waqid, the son of Abdullah, the son of Umar. So a descendant of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu. So he spoke and silenced that person. He said, Huwa wallahi khayrun minka nafsa wa aban wa umma wa mahtida. So he told him, I swear by Allah, he's addressing the eight, Zayd is better than you, himself, he is better than you. His father is better than yours. His mother is better than you. His origin is better than yours. And then he took like a handful of soil from the ground, and he said, such thing I cannot bear with. He said, بَلَغَ السَّيْلُ الزُّبَابُ. This is a phrase that the Arabs use. بَلَغَ السَّيْلُ الزُّبَابُ. It means, خلاص, the things have got to the maximum, cannot be born, born with any, cannot, you know, the person cannot bear with anymore. بَلَغَ السَّيْلُ الزُّبَى, it means that they say the torrential water, okay, went far to the top of the hill. Usually things flow down. This is so strong and so high that it went to the top. Usually the Arabs used to, in the past, in order to like hunt a lion, they would dig a hole at the top of the hill so that the water would not come and fill it out. So the lion would come and fall into it, and then they take the lion. So when the water reaches the top, means that the water is high and powerful. So he said, means when a person gets to a place where he cannot bear it anymore, that's it. then they say that statement, بَلَغَ السَّيْلُ السُّبَى. So he meant that I cannot bear with all this anymore. And he left the area. Later, this same Zayd wanted to go to Hisham for some business with him. And Hisham, on purpose, would not receive him. He would just delay, that he would just ask for permission to go and see him. He just delays him. Until later, he let him go in, and he received him. When he went in to receive him, this Hisham, he sat on a place where Zayd had to go on steps, many, many steps, and he would be at a very high place. All of that to what? To insult Zayd. To say, you want to get to me? So you have to, you know, climb all the steps, and I'm at a higher place than you, so I'm better than you. And of course, we know that being in a higher place doesn't mean you are in a higher status. Okay? The prophets are living on earth, and the angels are normally in the heavens, but the prophets have higher, you know, status than the angels. So, anyway, so Zayd, of course, wanted to talk to Hisham, so he started climbing the steps. And he was heavy set. So of course Hisham knew that. So it was hard for him to go all these steps in one round. So he had to rest after some steps. And when he was resting, he said a statement. He was talking to himself, but he said it loud enough for a servant of Hisham to hear it. He said, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُحِبُّ الدُّنْيَا أَحَدٌ إِلَّا ذَلْ. He said, I swear by Allah, anyone who loves this dunya would be humiliated. So, and then Zayd, of course, went up, talked with Hisham. Later, days later, after Zayd had already left, you know, Syria to go to Iraq, this servant told Hisham what he had heard Zayd say. So Hisham immediately came to his mind, okay, he's saying that I'm, you know, a person of dunya and I will be humiliated. It means he is conspiring to fight me and kill me. Immediately came to his mind. So he wanted to summon him back to talk with him and, you know, of course, confine him somewhere. So the governor of Al-Kufa, remember he's going to Iraq, and Kufa is in Iraq. So the governor of Kufa, of course, started looking for him because he had the orders to arrest him and to be taken to Damascus, to the capital. And this man was called Yusuf ibn Umar. And this Yusuf ibn Umar was a relative of Al-Hajjaj, remember the butcher? So he was from the same family. So, people who were supporters of Zayd, remember he's Zayd, the son of Ali, the son of Al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So, when they heard that the governor is looking for him, they got upset about it. And then they went to Zayd himself. They told him, for how long, until when are you going to keep on being patient with these people? Why don't you fight them? We're going to get you 100,000 people to support you. Now, other relatives of his, they know the history of these people. They told him, we advise you not to listen to them. They let down someone who was better than you. Your grandfather, Al-Husayn. Remember Al-Husayn, when they told him, come to us, we will help you, we'll support you. And what did they do? They let him down, and then Al-Husayn, only with his family, had to fight the Umayyad's army, and they were butchered in Karbala on the day of Ashura. So they told him, they let down your grandfather who was better than you, so they're going to do worse to you. So don't follow them. And they kept on urging him, those people, let's go, let's go. He said, okay. And then 40,000 had paid allegiance to him, that we're going to help you, They wrote their names that they would be supporting him. And so when it was time to go out to rebel against the government, only 200 and some people out of 40,000. And at the beginning they said, what? They're going to bring 100,000. So all of 40,000 promised. And then from the 40,000, only 200 people showed up. So when he already had gone out, had expressed his rebellion against the government, so he had to fight the army. So he fought one army of the Umayyads, and then he defeated them. And he had, he said, let me go to the masjid, get more supporters. And when he went there, nobody went out with him. Not a single person went out with Zayd to show his support to him, okay, against the governor, for example. So he said, now my situation is the same as the situation of Al-Husayn. People promised support. He was let down. I'm let down. So he, with those 200 people, he fought the Umayyad's army, and he was able to slow them down to, score some victory. But while the battle was going on, somebody shot him with an arrow that came into his forehead, his left forehead, and went into his brains. And he did not live except for a short time afterwards. He died. His people, his family buried him, but they did not let anyone know where his grave was. However, when they buried him, was helping them with, a person from Sindh. So he was, Sindh is an area in Pakistan and in India. Okay? So, he went to the governor, the government, and then he told them where the grave of Zayd was. They took his body out of the grave, they cut off his head, and then they posted his body on a post, so everybody would see. And then they kept his body posted for some time. Then they brought the body down and they burned it. This is a descendant of the Prophet, the governor or whoever is doing, claiming to be a Muslim. And look what they did. They didn't just have him killed in the battle, they did even more. And when you see people nowadays, they target the Muslims in the name of Islam. So having this happen, of course, is going to infuriate a lot of people, a lot of Muslims. And this, in addition to other things that we mentioned in previous classes, made the cause, the call of Banu al-Abbas, those Abbasid, very, receptive to people. And they said, why should we stay with these people? Why should we bear with them? Why don't we just pay allegiance to a person who is a descendant of the Prophet? Those people, those descendants of the Prophet who have been wronged, done injustice to since the days of Ali. So they started inciting people against the Umayyads, and they started building up more and more supporters as time passed. And at the same time, the Umayyad state was getting weaker and weaker. And Hisham died in the year 125 after he got sick. Now, when he died, of course, before he died, he wanted to have two of his children become caliphs after him. And what was decided before that is that one person, Al-Walid, the son of Yazid, the son of Abd al-Malik, the son of the previous caliph, was supposed to become the caliph. But when Hisham became the caliph, he wanted his own children to become the caliph. He didn't want his nephew to become a caliph. So when this happened now, of course, you would expect these children have supporters, and his nephew has supporters. So his nephews immediately took action. They went into the palace, they closed the treasury, they took care of whatever area. Now, the children of The dead caliph cannot do anything. They have no money to spend and tell people to support them. So even when they were trying to wash Hisham, the dead caliph, they needed water. They could not get a container to put water in it because the supporters, as Ahab, already took over the palace. So they said, some people said, this is a good lesson to learn. They said a person may rule a lot of land, may, you know, own a lot of money, but look what happened. They did not even find something to put water in to wash him. So something may, you know, turn over against a person despite his past history. So now, this Hisham, we said that he was firm, he was following up with the situation of the with the Muslim state all over. He was among his good points, you know, the advantages of having him, his merits, was that he was very strict against the Mu'tazila, those people who are called also Qadariyya, those people who say that Allah created us, He gave us the power to create our actions, and no more He's no more powerful to do anything, to create our deeds. So when a people do the good deeds or the bad deeds, they do it by themselves, not by the will of Allah, not according to the power of Allah. So, plus other things that they, blasphemous that they think, they said. And he is the one who ordered the killing of the person who started this bid'ah, this blasphemous creed. And his name was Ghaylan. He was from Damascus. So he's known as Ghaylan al-Dimashqi, Ghaylan from Damascus. And he's known as Al-Qadari, means the person who came up with this bad creed. And this person had started it during the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, his blasphemous, you know, Qadr, if you want. And when Umar ibn Abdul Aziz received the news, he summoned him, and he told him, what is this that I receive about you? You are talking about Al-Qadr, means you are denying that everything happens by the will of Allah. And of course Umar was stern and was pious, and so he had this awe, you know, awesomeness that that person got afraid. He said, no, they lie about me. They lie about me. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, if I know that you are talking about this issue, I'm going to chop your head. He said, there are different things that we could say. One narration that Umar told him, why don't you read Surah Yasin? Recite it for me. So he said Yasin wal Quran al Hakim until he got to the ayah where it says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِن بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. So he told him, stop reading up to this point. It's talking about that when the Prophet ﷺ went out of his house and put those, you know, the sand on the heads of those who had a siege against him, that Allah made the Prophet invisible. So he told him that Allah said that we made them unable to see. So who made them unable to see? He told him, asked him, Allah. So it means that they wanted to see, but they were not able to see. So if they were the creators of their act of seeing, they would have seen the Prophet. But because they are not the creators of their vision, their act of seeing, they could not see. So who made them unable to see? Allah. It means you have no proof. Here's the proof against your, you know, alleged, for example, belief, what they tell me about you. So he said, I swear by Allah, I will never talk about it anymore. So Umar ibn Khattab, of course, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, felt that he was not sincere about it. So he asked, he made dua. He said, "Oh Allah, if he is truthful about what he said, keep him firm on it. But if he is not truthful about it, he's not sincere about it, means he said it just to avoid being killed. Okay? Oh Allah, make him taste the sword. Make him taste harra saif. It means the heat of the sword. Let him taste the heat of the sword." So after Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died, so he stopped quiet. He didn't do anything about it. After Umar died, he started talking about the same subject. So when Hisham was told that he started talking about it, he brought him. And he wanted to kill him. The narration, it says that he told him, read Al-Fatiha. So he read Al-Fatiha. In it says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He said, well, you ask Allah for guidance. Do you ask Him for something He has power over, or something that you have power over? You're asking Allah, keep me guided on the straight path. So are people asking Allah for something Allah has power over, or He doesn't, and the one who's asking has power over? Because if he says, no, Allah doesn't have power over, what's the meaning of asking Allah for it? If somebody has no money and he says, give me money, is there a sense in asking for him? Or if he say, carry this for me, and he cannot carry it for you, what's the meaning of it? It will be nonsense. And of course, Al-Quran doesn't have nonsense. So we are اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, because we know the guidance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why we ask Him to keep us guided on the straight path. So he was telling him that you have no proof for your bad, for your ill belief. So he said, well, bring me someone to debate me. Because he wants him to be killed. He said, give me someone to debate. So Hisham said, okay, who would debate him? They said, we recommend Al-Awza'i, rahimahullah, Abdul Rahman Al-Awza'i. This was in Damascus, Abdul Rahman ibn Awza'i in Beirut. That's all. So they summoned him from Beirut to debate this man. So Al-Awza'i, when he said, Ghailan, if you want, I'll ask you four questions, or three, or two, I ask you one question. So you choose. Do you want me to ask you four, three, two, or one question? He said, okay, ask me three. So Al-Awza'i said, tell me about something that Allah willed to happen, but He prohibited people to do it. So He willed for something that He prohibited. Ghailan said, I don't know what it is. So Al-Awza'i said to the Khalifa, this is one. Then he said, tell me about something that Allah ordered but did not allow to happen. Ghailan said, I don't know what that, this is harder than the first one. He said, oh Amir al-Mu'mini, this is second one. Then he asked him the third one. He said, tell me about something that Allah made prohibited. Allah ordered that it is haram, but then He made it halal. He said, this is harder than the other two. Then Al-Awza'i said, commander of the believers, I swear by Allah, he is a kafir. So they took him out and he ordered his killing. His body was posted at the entrance of Damascus, the capital. So when he was taken, Ghailan was taken to, you know, be executed, he said, the dua of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the pious man, got me. It was fulfilled. Remember when he said he wasn't insincere, let him taste the heat of the sword? So he said, the dua of Umar against me, you know, got me. So Hisham said, okay, you asked him those three questions, what are the answers? He told him, I asked him about something that Allah willed to happen, but He prohibited people to do it. He said Allah prohibited Adam from eating from the tree, but it happened because Allah willed it to happen. So he ate from the tree according to Allah's will. I asked him about Allah ordering something, but he did not allow it to happen. He ordered Iblis to make sujood to Adam, but he did not will for him to make sujood. And the third is, he said, I asked him about something that Allah made it prohibited, but he made it halal afterwards. And he said, Allah made eating al-mayta, means an animal that died without the proper slaughtering. Either, you know, it was choked or it fell off or somebody hit it on its head. So, mayta, something that is not an animal that is not properly slaughtered. So, he made it haram, but Allah made it halal for the person who has an emergency. Like if he's only, this is the only food that is available for him, and he would die if he did not, you know, take a bite from it. It's halal for him to do it. He eats as much as keeps him alive, and that's it. So Allah made it haram, and then he made it halal. So, he said these are the three questions, and of course three answers, O Commander of the Believers. And there are other versions of the incident. So, one time, this Ghailan said to one of the scholars known as Maymun ibn Mahran, Hisham told him, debate this Ghailan. And Maymun said, ask a question. So Ghailan said, did Allah will to be disobeyed? So he's just telling him that, you say Allah will to be disobeyed. So according to him, this is a defect in Allah, it's imperfection. So Maymun told him, would Allah be disobeyed, okay, by force? Means, despite His power, would Allah be disobeyed against His will? So this way, he was quiet. Because if he said yes, then he's saying Allah is weak. Things are, he's disobeyed against His will. Now, one of the things that they tell about Hisham, this ruler, that he, just like previous rulers, whenever they hear of some disease spreading among people, like plague, for example, they make sure that they go out of that area and stay away from contracting this disease. So one time, he heard that there is plague in the area of Damascus. So he went to an area called Ar-Rusafa. He had built a wonderful palace there. There are some ruins nowadays. This is close to Hama, which is northwest of Syria. And he wanted to go there to avoid being plagued. So when people heard that he wants to go out, leave the area, they said, no, don't go. Caliphs do not get hit by plague. They told him, have you ever seen a caliph before you plagued? He told them, so you want to try it with me? So he refused to stay, and then he went to that area away from Damascus. Wallahu سبحانه وتعالى أعلم لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم